Blog Talk Radio.
180 degrees. Good morning. Highs to highs on Blog Talk Radio. We're going to open up the lines and let's talk postal service. If it affects you, let's talk about it. Good morning, podcast audience. This is Branch President Ken Hodge on a live podcast line speaking with you this morning. I sent it out on Facebook yesterday with the phone number. Should anyone want to call in and join me in a live conversation? I'm sorry, but I've got a few questions. I've got a few comments, and I have enough. I'm aware of enough situations in the post office that I could probably talk to you forever without getting tired and without talking about the exact same situation. So let's get it on today. And today I'm going to open up with, does postal management have the authority to go into tax, as in TAC, and intentionally change and alter an employee's time? And let me tell you what I mean by that. Apparently, now again, my issue with the post office, I'm kind of fighting head to head with my plant manager just about him not following union rules as far as giving me union time in a parking space. I'm fighting with my union because they don't want to hear anything I have to say. Now, I only laid that down for you because now listen what happens. Well, it appears that because me and my plant manager don't see eye to eye, well, him and the Tour 2 MDO, I guess they just came back from a week somewhere working on some project together. So I guess there was a bond made, and part of that bond must be I need you. Again, plant manager needs the Tour 2 MDO to get on board with harassing Ken Hodge. Here's what I'm talking about. Last week, there was a notice sent out from the local unions that branch presidents would be requesting union leave to make this union meeting, which occurred Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Well, I went through the process, and I have a 3971 where I didn't request union leave. I requested annual leave because I wanted to get paid while I was gone. Now, again, using my leave. Well, the Tour 2 MDO in Columbus, Ohio, took it upon herself to give the direction for a supervisor to go into tax and change my leave. Now, again, I'm just stating it on this podcast, but I've spoken to legal defense on this. Because how are you going to how can you just make an opportunity to go in and change leave that employee has already had authorized? I have a signed 3971, and I have the leave to cover my absence. Please explain to me what motivated you to do such a thing. I'm sure it was probably so you could run back to Terry and tell Terry, hey, Terry, I did something awful to Ken Hodge also. And maybe you can get on the inner circle. Well, I want to let you know that I will be filing to get a pay adjustment done based off of my signed document, MDO, that you arbitrarily chose to change. Well, I want you to know that here's a case where you just giving me back my 24 hours of annual leave, unless you give them back to me by Friday, is not going to be okay as a result. Again, I teach on my podcast that when people make blatant errors, then we should be compensated additionally. So again, you're going to see paperwork coming at you toward to MDO asking to have my 24-hour leave paid and asking for some kind of punitive damages or compensatory damages because you arbitrarily made a decision to alter a employee's time. And some might look at that as falsifying time, and I promise you that's how I'm going to look at it. So we start out with, again, management just not understanding their job and abusing what little authority they do have. It puzzles me as to why an MDO would do that. Now, let me say to some people, you might want to say, and I'm going to give her argument. Yeah, I'm going to give her argument. You might want to say, well, I looked in tax and it was supposed to be union leave. No, it said we can request union leave. Read the statement properly. But if you looked in tax and you saw where another supervisor had me in for annual leave before you arbitrarily changed it, do you think it would have been a good idea to ask the supervisor who inputted my leave, hey, listen, is Ken on annual leave or union leave? And then you would have saved yourself the trouble of tampering or misrepresenting my actual request or my time. But you didn't do that because all you seen was, here's my opportunity to do something negative to Ken Hodge, and I want to say to the Tour 2 MDO, sorry, this opportunity wasn't presented to you, but I'm going to bring it back to you in the form of official charges because I think what you did was damaging. And the Postal Service cannot allow this to go on. Now, this is how these situations escalate. What I'm going to do is some employees, I'm willing to bet you, if you look at your time records, you're going to see additions or deletions to your time that you didn't make. And I'm only talking to Tour 2 employees right now because I understand that the MDO will give that authority to one of the SDOs that normally acts as an MDO, and they're going in, making changes to your records, your timekeeping that you didn't authorize. And let me tell you something, this is going to stop. You can't adjust my record when it's already put in correctly. See, that shows harassment. That shows malicious intent. And I want you to know I'm going to follow up on that. So the decision you made, you may have taken joy going to tell the plant manager that you've done something terrible, unnecessary to Ken Hodge. But I guarantee when you finish answering questions from other authorities, maybe next time, Tour 2 MDO, you will think before you give that order to change somebody else's time. Now, that starts the live podcast. And let me tell you something about this podcast that I'm going to do on Tuesday mornings now. Again, it's not a slam. Don't just call in and talk crap about the post office, the union, or me for that matter. But if you have something substantial that you can back that up with, then call in and let's talk about it. Again, this is a 180 degrees. Again, this is the website, the podcast that is really trying to be the voice of the mail handler. And all it takes is for you to call in and get involved. And when we call in, you don't have to give your name or your office. But if you're out of Columbus, the dumb shit that management does, trust me, you don't have to say you're out of Columbus. It just kind of resonates. But again, any situation that I put out on this podcast, I will give my name and my office. Now, do you know why this podcast is even going to happen? In other words, because management refuses, Columbus management, Columbus, Ohio, Tour 2. Yeah, right now I'm kind of on a Tour 2 NDO, probably in a position way over her head, and she's making decisions that don't benefit anybody. Well, I'm sorry. There's a certain few that if you're in that inner circle, they'll benefit you. But for the most part, don't benefit a soul. I'm talking about a tour that if it were not for mail handlers on higher level doing schedule, the tour to MDO probably would never have a schedule. So again, I work on tour two. I am experiencing some of this unprofessional treatment from the tour to MDO, and this is what I'm speaking on. Now, they've got a much better tour to MDO in the building, but they choose to hide her out in implant support. But anyway, let's get back to why we have this show now. This show is being made possible on Tuesday mornings solely because Columbus, Ohio tour to management refuses to observe overtime desireless. Now, what I want to do real quick, I'm going to touch two issues here. One, I read on Facebook the other day that somebody got a letter of warning or 14-day suspension for absent for overtime. Now, I didn't indulge into that situation, but I want to say this. If you're not on the overtime desire list, you got to tell your unions that Article 8.4, overtime work, Section D. Listen, the parties to this agreement recognize that sustained and excessive levels of overtime, particularly where it is being worked by non-volunteers, are not ultimately beneficial to the Postal Service or the employees. The subject of sustained and excessive overtime where it is being worked by non-volunteers is a proper topic for discussion at the local and regional area labor management committee meetings. Well, we could probably discuss those in Columbus, but they don't have them because they are not productive. But, oh, wait, your plant manager might be bringing in a new program to replace the labor management meetings that we never have. Hey, good morning, caller. How you doing today?
Morning, Hodge.
All right. So they're calling in to, in other words, if you are not on the overtime desire list, then listen to me, and I know this might sound crazy. You have a right not to work all that overtime. If you're not on the list, what you're saying to the Postal Service is, I only want to work my 40-hour week. And let me tell you, they should be agreeing to that. Now, if they choose to keep their staff understaffed, that's not a reason to violate this meeting that should take place at the Labor Management Committee. In other words, I don't want to work overtime. Don't make me work overtime, because you have folks in there that's not on an overtime list still working 25, 30 hours of overtime a week, and that's not right. Now, again, reason why I can have this podcast on Tuesday mornings, they love Columbus management, and I'm particularly talking about Tour 2. They love to work their MHAs in lieu of their regulars. They'd love to do that. Unless you're one of their favorite regulars, then you can work, begin tour overtime. Now, let me read again. Article 8.5, Section E, overtime work for MHAs. MHAs shall be paid overtime for work performed in excess of 40 hours in any one service week. Overtime pay for MHAs is to be paid at the rate of 1.5 times the basic hourly straight time rate. Now, that's overtime. Now it gets a little complicated, and this is where the unions and management, I guess they never read this paragraph. When an opportunity exists for overtime for qualified and available full-time employees, I got to stop right there. This is what most of my union thinks, and this is what a lot of union individuals think. When they say an opportunity exists for overtime for qualified and available full-time employees, see, if you've worked in Columbus, Ohio, and that's the only place you've ever worked, advanced scheduling of overtime is probably something brand new to you. Because if you're in Columbus, you're used to tour office clerks, listen very carefully, tour office clerks calling and relaying a message to you that the NBO wants you to come to work, which is so illegal, which is so a direct violation of Article 5. Management should schedule and forecast mail volumes, and they should schedule today, tomorrow's work assignment today. So, when an opportunity exists for overtime for qualified and available full-time employees doing similar work in the work location where the employees regularly work, here we go, prior, yeah, not Richard Pryor, but before, prior to using an MHA in excess of 8 work hours in a service day or 40 hours in a service week, such qualified and available full-time employees on the appropriate overtime desire list will be selected to perform such work in order of their seniority on a rotating basis. Now, let me give you the argument the union is accepting. They're accepting that it has to be in the same pay location. It has to be in the same tour. Well, listen to me, folks. This is where we begin to negotiate away our contract. All throughout our contract, when it is important to be on the same tour or the same pay location, it's stated. Article 8.5E is an attempt by our National Mail Handlers Union to ensure that career mail handlers, it doesn't matter what tour, are given the opportunity for overtime work in lieu of or before non-career. You see, you got to understand that's the gambit right there. It's not about, and when it comes to MHAs working, it's not about not having available people. It's not about MHAs can go 100 hours on tour two as long as they don't do it on tour one. No, the national agreement is based on career employees. All the writing in there is designed for career employees, and you'll notice when it applies or when it is applicable to an MHA, then they put a little subcategory in there. So again, you got to understand that agreement that we have, that's based for career employees. And when it comes to MHAs working over 8 hours, you know, and I say this often, but I say this often, if that MHA is working 10 hours a day on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, by Wednesday morning, that MHA is in overtime. So by Wednesday, that MHA should be left at home and your overtime desire list brought in. Now, once you max out your overtime desire list, then you can go to the MHAs. But we have to understand what maxing out your overtime, or not even maxing out, let's use the contractual language, utilizing. I currently have 6 grievances that I will be filing a step one on tomorrow. No, I don't want that help from my local union. Again, I just don't have that kind of confidence in my branch at this particular time. And I'm saying this as nice as I can, pretty much to do anything for me. And that's just me. But when you come and talk to me, I know how I'm going to fight. But when you come and talk to me, I always direct you to your union first before I get engaged in your issue. So my grievance is I am a tour 2 overtime desireless person. Now, today I'm willing to bet you all the tour 1 mail handlers, MHAs, work 10, 12 hours. You see, all you have to do is send 2 or 3 of them home. That allows you to regulate their work hours. You'll bring a tour 2 person in, and me or any other tour 2 individual who wants to start begin tour overtime. You bring regulars in to reduce MHA work hours. Come on, folks. This is not rocket science. But for some reason, our union, local and branch, do not seem to be able to get that point across to management because they're just not tenacious enough. I watch full-time mail handlers, career mail handlers who can't drive. I watch them being skipped over the rotation because they can't drive. That is wrong, folks. You bring those drivers in to drive. You bring your foot soldiers in, is what we refer to the level 4s as, to relieve MHAs. So they go home. Now the overtime is distributed properly, and boom. And guess what? That MHA has no choice in the work hours that they work. But I'll be willing to bet you, if you reduce them to the 40-hour work week, at least for a couple of weeks, when you started giving them another dose of overtime, you have a much better employee. Because people get tired of working every single day in that building in excess of what they wanted to work. Hey, caller, did you have any issues you wanted to share with us this morning?
Apparently not right now. It seems like you got everything going on that I'm just indulging all the knowledge that you're speaking.
Okay. All right. So again, folks, listen. If you are in not just Columbus, any post office that has MHAs, every day, every time that MHA goes over 8 hours in a day, somebody from the overtime desire list should be getting paid. And do not allow yourself to think that, well, we can only use this pay location. You see, Columbus management, again, got slick to that. And what they do is they put all their MHAs in one pay location. So therefore, although MHAs work in several different locations, if you bring up the pay location for an MHA, it's always, I think it's 136 or 33, 233, 236. In other words, every MHA is in the same pay location. And I say to the union, you have to get active and you have to go and get that overtime money or that overtime violation and pay that out to your overtime desire list. Now, I'm sure my union is probably reluctant to do this because it is going to take some tedious timekeeping in order to make this happen. In other words, again, to do it right, you're going to have a master list inside of your union office so that when you start to do your overtime violations for MHAs working over 8 hours or over 40 hours in a week, you've got a master rotation and pay your overtime desire list based off of that rotation list. Again, that's going to be separate from the pay location list that mail handlers are selected to work overtime in. And I didn't mean to sound confusing, but I think I may have. But I just want you to know that you have to get active because I'm going to do my own grievance. I'm going to do my own step ones. Yes, listen to me, Local 304, and all those folks out there that think I'm going to do my own step ones. And again, I am fully aware of once I have my step one meeting, if I get it resolved, I still have to have the union process that resolve. Or if it's not, if it has to go to step two, I still have to give it to the union so they can take it to step two. So listen to me very carefully, union members who are not satisfied with the level of reputation that your union reps are giving you. You can do your own step one.
I'm sorry for butting in, but I tried doing my step ones with my management, and they said talking with the union rep of the matter was a class act, and I had to go to my union first. But, I'm still learning.
If it's a class action, that means the union has already filed it, but you don't have to have class action grievances. Because this is what my union has actually said to me. Now, I've been telling my union I've been advising people forever on this gross violation of Article 8. So now that I've been asking what I've asked the union to do is every 2 weeks, what I didn't ask the union, what I asked people to do is go to your union, every 2 weeks have them pull down the hours for that MHA pay location. You go through it day by day by day by day. Every single day those MHAs work, then you need to be filing class action grievances. But they wouldn't do that. And I've been singing this song for months. So 1 second. So what I did, I started filing my own step ones. Now I'm being told that you can't make my grievance a class action. You know, there's criteria for what requires a class action. Now, if the union or, in your case, caller, if the union already started a class action, then that's one thing. But if you want to do your own step one, you have every right to do so. And let me also say to you, caller, that it has just been told to all union officials, anytime an employee requests copies of the paperwork, of the moving documents, your grievance sheet, your step one, your work sheet, that the union must provide it. So what I would ask you to do, caller, is request copies of the actual class action that your union says they're filing that deals with your issue so you can follow along with it. If they won't let you do it, then you have to ensure that they do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And unfortunately for my situation, my union rep, and we don't have a steward for my shop. So I go straight to the union rep of my district, and he says he's exhausted his time dealing with the non-union member. So I didn't want to bother him, and he was in this position of, you know, being taking care of a lot of stuff himself. And, you know, yeah, that class act deal that I was trying to get step one with management, a lot
right.
of my step one, they're always telling me, you know, I cannot look into, I cannot do this actually. They wouldn't go forward with this one-on-one deal with employee and management. They would just strictly go on saying, hey, go to your union rep and go from
well,
there.
Well, let me say this to you, sir. And again, it's not even important that I know what office you're from, because what I'm saying goes to everybody. Again, if you one of the issues with doing your own step one is some of the records or the documents you need have employee numbers on them, and they may not release them to you. But short of that, the next time you want to do a step one grievance, which you have every right to do, and your union or your management won't hear your step one, I would ask you to file a labor charge on management. Because that's wrong. I want you to know that, and it doesn't matter if you're a union member or a non-union member. Now, again, if you're not a union member, I got a really nice presentation I want to show you to try to convert you over to being a union member. But you have to understand, if you don't belong, they still have to represent me.
Now,
again,
yeah.
and you gotta understand. Let's keep it real now. If you're not a member and they have to represent, I'm pretty sure you're not going to get the best representation. Now, nobody says that. But, I mean, again, we live in a real world. And again, and in fact, let me clean that statement up, okay? They have to represent, and they're going to do a good job for you. Let me clean that up because I don't want to get bombarded. But let's keep it real for a minute. If you're not a union member,
yeah,
you have an issue.
Everybody's busy.
Well, again, you them being busy just means that I have to get back to you. Doesn't mean I don't have time for you. Me being busy means I can't take care of you right now, but give me an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I'm going to get to you. That's what me being busy means. But again... You have to understand, and first of all, again, I promote union activity. I promote union membership. That's first and foremost. Again, if you're not in, I'm sure if your union in your office showed you that they are a force to be reckoned with, then you would be in. Most people don't join. Well, not most people, because we have more members than not. But the people are reluctant to join because they think that I'm just paying money for nothing. They're not going to do anything. And as a collective union, we have to work harder for our members to let the non-members know that we will protect you as best we can. So to you, caller, I say, pick up your contract. It's online. Read it. And the next time you go to schedule a step one with the management, do it in writing, because when they tell you they refuse to meet with you, please contact me directly. I will show you the next set of steps that you should take. How's that sound?
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. And again, this is what I do. This is the talk that I talk. This is the reason why most people who've been in my union for years and years and years sometimes don't like the way I talk. I've not grown up in the union, so therefore my vision is brand new when I look in it. And when I say brand new, it just means I see things that people have been looking at for years and just become comfortable with. Hey, listen, that's our show for this morning, live podcast. And again, every Tuesday morning, I'm going to open these microphones up, and eventually, hopefully, we'll have our podcast, live microphone, live podcast on Tuesday mornings. And again, I don't care if you are a clerk, carrier, mail handler, maintenance, it doesn't matter. On Tuesday mornings, when we open up the microphones, please call in. Let's talk about your issues. Have a great day, everyone, and I'll talk to you next week. And good night, caller. Well, excuse me, good day, caller.
Good morning.
We'll get it right. Have a good one.
Yeah.
We're signing off now.